Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Busy night so far. We had the newsmakers on Jameson Battle transferring to the Gophers. Bob Kaufman, apparently involved with a lawsuit to try to keep Hill-Murray's season alive. Now joining us, Omar McMillan, his team at Richfield, will play in the boys' basketball state tournament tomorrow. Omar, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You got to take me back to this section final game. You're down, 13 at the half, and you score. This has got to be a section final record. You scored 60 points in the second half to beat South St. Paul, and that was a game that they basically forfeited. What happened?
Let me start by saying this: God is good, because you know we had practiced this scenario in practice. And my assistant coaches and our players, they really get locked in and buying into stuff. And, you know, we really scout every detail as much as we can. And we scout the coaches, the opposing coaches, mannerisms. We scout the atmosphere. So in practice that day before, we set up a scenario that we were down by 12 at half. And, you know, and we had to fight back, and we end up, ironically, the first team end up winning 83-80, so almost a 10-point difference.
Really?
We talked about that at halftime, and we said, you know, last sectional championship we were in against Holy Angels, we were down about the same amount at half, and we need to come back and step it up. This was a little bit different because you had some leaders that really stepped up in that game, like Lamar Grayson had a great scoring night. Mitchell was solid, but I think he might have ended up fouling out. Jaden Patterson came in and played huge minutes. Jaden Walmart played huge minutes. Enar Hewitt played huge minutes. Ryan Miles. So we had a collective group deeper than we normally play that played huge minutes to kind of spark that run.
But South St. Paul, I mean, they're really good too. You're not just running up and down against in an inter-squad game here, they've got a lot that you got to defend.
Man, absolutely. I mean, you know, they got a great coach and they got a great group of guys young there that's up and cutting. And the thing about it is, you know, I still got to think about them next year because they're going to be even tougher next year. But, you know, it was one of those things that, like I said, we talked a little bit earlier in the season about what the final goal was going to be and who we thought we were going to end up facing in that final round. So we have been scouting since day one, you know, what personnel they had to play, they played, and how they scored, and what's their tendencies that they like doing, and who we needed to get out of the game. But that Dye kid is just tough. He's tough as nails.
So yeah, and usually those point guards, they can carry you, right? I mean, in the second half especially, you know, he doesn't let up.
No, he doesn't. I'm like, as a matter of fact, it was, you know, we had a little interaction in the game that he shot a three-pointer. I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll take that. And he hit it, and he looked at me, coach, like, it's going to be a long night.
Night, coach. Sit down,
like,
right?
Oh, man. All right, man. Okay. You proved to me that you're the real deal. So, but, yeah, you know, just a kind of adjusting ourselves. And we knew that they were going to tell. We wanted to play them all season. You know, we reached out about a regular season game, and they weren't interested in playing. I think they were fooled or something. But, you know, we wanted to play them in the regular season to kind of see where we were at. But it worked out perfect to be able to play the number one team. I'll say semi-undefeated because, you know, we got to put an asterisk behind that one game that they lost because they didn't play their top
player.
But, you know, I mean, they're tough. They're a tough group. And what Coach Mack has done over there is phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, back in the day when I first started coaching here, it was kind of like a guaranteed W.
Yeah, it was. At one time it was.
You know, and I mean, we were in that same case at a little point. But, you know, it was we could always grab that win against South St. Paul. But now what he has done over there, you got to be on your all cylinders. And I think my guys, I think the biggest motivation was we missed out on that chance last year. You know, that not being able to go to state last year was kind of crushing. So that's been the goal all year.
What you played against Suggs last year, right? Minnehaha?
No, we didn't. We played
this year. You played him, right?
This year, that was our final game of the season.
Okay, you didn't play him last year because he's doing a number tonight on USC.
Man, oh my God, he's a tough guy.
Come on, you kidding me?
He's the real deal.
Does he make the game look easy, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of knew that was going to happen when I first moved up here. And, you know, I used to be in the gym with his dad and all his uncles and all that, and he used to be in the gym dribbling the ball, too. We knew he was destined to be that type of athlete.
Yeah, he can flat out play. Now, tell us about tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be a tough one. It's going to be Mankato West is a pretty decent team that likes to shoot that ball, you know, and they like to get after you and make you limit your shots. And so they've been having a pretty successful season. They're athletic, just like us, and it might be a track race.
Do you get tape easy on them this day and age? You just look up their everything streams so you can look at what you want to look at?
For the most part.
Okay.
For the most part.
You got to work a little bit to find it sometimes, right?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, we kind of over the years have trained ourselves to what to look at. And, you know, we got some people on the personnel that keeps track of who plays who. And, you know, I try to reach out and see if we can see it. And this year, since things were on like YouTube and the network, we were able to get things like that. But it was tough this year. So you really have to, you know, find out people's secrets. I mean, we go to the extreme to if you had a interview on a podcast, you know, we're listening to it to see some details that we can get out for you. So,
you know, I know that right now it's all basketball and it should be for you guys. But, you know, there's this trial going on downtown and you're African-American. There's a lot of African-American players on your team. Are they watching closely what's happening during this trial? Are they consumed with basketball right now? I mean, how does this feel to you? Because we've got this absolutely internationally historic thing going on in our backyard. How does it play with you and your team?
I think it kind of goes both ways with it. I mean, because like I mentioned to you before, we had a lot of talks leading up to this. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot how they are feeling about this certain situation. You know, I don't know if it's the gift and the curse of it. Some of them kind of naive about some of the things that's going on with it. I don't know if it's that fact of the matter of they don't want it to happen to them, which we don't want to wish that we don't. They have never had it happen to them, or they feel like they're in a good space. But, you know, this is a group that has expressed themselves all season, so to speak. They have chose to kneel during the national anthem. Majority of my guys with the flack that they've been getting. And that was something that they did on their own. So they want justice as well as, a lot of us do. They want justice and to be able to feel safe when they hit the streets. So it's been kind of a balance between, bringing it up at the right time, even though it's a monumental thing. Because, again, that's a big thing that they're dealing with, but they're also dealing with the fact that they got to go back to school, so to speak. They're also dealing with the fact that, you know, they're on spring break this week, so they're following a lot of different things, and so we're trying to keep them definitely safe from all those different things, but also keep them in tune to what's historically happening in their lives and what's going to happen down the road. So this is a monumental thing that we try to keep them up on their toes about. But at the same time, you know, since we have developed that relationship and we had this talk earlier, keep them up on their toes about. But at the same time, you know, since we have developed that relationship and we had this talk earlier in the year, you know, we still are sensitive to the buttons that we push.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Omar. Thank you for your time. Good luck tomorrow, and we will be in touch.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Omar Mack, Omar McMillan, as they prepare for the state tournament. You've probably heard about the Odyssey taking over Intercom, new name for this station. Pineapple Street Studios has just launched a new 8-part series podcast, My Fugitive. Host Nina Glidden-Seavey is a St. Louis native whose father was the civil rights attorney who represented Howard Mechanic, a St. Louis College student who vanished after a riot left an Air Force building burned to the ground. She takes us through a dark family secret that unveils a Cold War spy ring, Dr. Martin Luther King assassination conspiracies, and the government's attempt to cover it all up. The podcast reveals new information from 150,000 documents declassified in the lawsuit, CV versus Department of Justice. If you'd like true crime stories such as Embedded, Throughline, Revisionist History, or Slow Burn, you'll love My Fugitive. So that's another one of the podcasts that they're offering right now. I'm going to offer you something really good, too. It's called Air Mechanical. And I'm going to talk to you about, real specifically, about something that can affect you. And when it does, you go, I wish I'd have listened to Max. I wish I'd have listened to him. It's called a sump pump. That's what keeps the water out of your basement. And right now, we are going through what we'd call the flood season. And it's not, doesn't mean we're going to have flooding. It means that when you get unusual amounts of rain and you got soft soil and you got some of those things, your basement is vulnerable. Air Mechanical has an opportunity for $300. You can get a sub pump. How do I know how this can affect you? Because it happened to us twice where I walked downstairs, and you'll never forget when you take that step and you hear squish. And it's not the squish of, oh, you know, somebody in the family spilled the water. And they just left. It's a squish like you know you're in trouble. It is an awful feeling. It is awful when they come in. And I don't care if you're insured or not. When they tear the carpeting up and they got to go and see if there's mold on the drywall. It's awful. It's awful. Trust me. But a sub pump will take care of that. It'll keep the water moving out. Our sub pump broke. Not now. Not now that I got Air Mechanical. They've got it figured out. And for you, this is the perfect time to call them, to seek them out. The name of their website is thinkami.com. That's thinkami.com. Go there. They'll take you through the paces. But more importantly, this is the time. This is the time to do the right thing in the spring so you don't have to go through what I went through. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Covered a lot of ground so far. And we will continue to. Force for Good is a great segment that we've added to this program, and it takes us away from a minute and just talks about things that are good in this world. Scott Eggington knows all about it from Cobb Strecker. They're helping ensure every third Saturday a place that veterans can go to get a lift in life, to maybe find connect with employers, to find out that they're not alone in this world, to purchase things at a cheaper price, to get a boost. And Scott and his group have been involved in it from the insurance standpoint. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Mike, and thank you for having me, and really thank you for embracing this Force for Good ideology that you've put on air segments for the past 7 weeks. It's really important, and it's a sort of a roadmap for us who want to be make a difference in our community. So thank you for what you're doing.
I appreciate that, Scott. And what you learn, and I'm sure you learned this a long time ago, is we don't even realize how many opportunities there are for us out there to do something good, do we? I mean, for many people, they're willing. They just need to have a roadmap or have somebody say, hey, here, you can do this. And once they do, it catches on. Is that what you've seen at Cobb Strecker, not just in this, but in general, in the culture of the right company?
Well, I think culture of the company is so very important in setting the standards and the beliefs that you have. But I smiling a little bit, I listened to the segment, a longtime friend and client of mine is the McNamara Contracting Group, Mike McNamara, you had on your first week. And you were talking to him about this time in your life where everything around you seems to be going at warp speed. You're building a business. You're running a company. You have employees and that count on you. You have family that want a piece of you and your spouse and your children. And it's hard at times. It seems overwhelming. But what you have to do is pause, and you said it well with Mike that night. You have to pause and say, appreciate the blessings you have and share those blessings with others that are less fortunate. And it's so meaningful when you do it on both sides of it, those that receive it and you that give it.
Well, and you know what, if you are, I know this sounds a strange way to phrase it. If you're fortunate to be going at warp speed, it usually means because you have a lot of blessings, right?
Exactly, exactly. You know what, and I have to say that I started with Cobb Strecker in February 1st of 1978, so I've been around a long time. And, you know, as I live that experience, Mike verbalized, what I think I defaulted to was when I saw passions of my clients, whether it's TIPS, Hope's Kids, whether it's Butch Ames Angel Foundation, Russ Becker's Children's Minnesota, I'd sort of tag along with those. But what really changed the trajectory for me, and I think CSD&Z, was having the employees come, and they'd been touched by an illness or a life event that was so very meaningful and impactful to them that we could rally around them and go to a cause that was important for them and for our whole staff to embrace. So that was sort of a really turning point for us as we looked at our whole charitable giving and what we wanted to do.
What do you try to do? I mean, you know, it's giving is such a, people think right away of financial, but it's not always financial. It's giving your gifts away. It's, you know, God blessed you with something and he gave them to you for a reason. There's lots of your time, your energy, your connections, all those things. What do you try to tell? How do you try to encourage your employees that way to look inside and say, here's what I have to give?
Well, I think you start by listening to the employees and becoming part of or understanding what they've been through in their life and how they've experienced things. Well, how could we all benefit from those experiences and helping those people that they have seen hurt or going through difficult times? We loved our involvement in the Ronald McDonald House. There was nothing better than serving food and these people who've come from hundreds of miles away, families that could be for months in a room while their poor child's getting very good care through the support of the Ronald McDonald House. Phenomenal experience. But again, involvement, I think, of you and your employee makes it all go, great for everyone.
Yeah, every third Saturday is unique as well because it touches on the veterans, and we don't realize sometimes, or I didn't at least until, you know, you have an idea, but you don't really realize how isolated so many of them feel or how they feel like they're the only ones going through this. And an insurance agent is, when you insure a building and you help underwrite that part of it, it's not about the paperwork on that. It's about where can they go to feel safe? And of course, Mr. McKenna's done a great job out there. But what have been your impressions when you see it and you see what it does for people?
Well, my access or my touch point through that was Tip Anabek, long, long time friend of mine, who got connected with Tom McKenna and the Every Third Saturday. And it's just an organization you'll see day in and day out. You get disabled American veterans and you get wounded warriors and so much that just seem like an envelope coming in into you that you can give $100 to. It's so much more meaningful when you see what these people are going through. They're real people, have real struggles, and they need a hand. And Tip has done a great job, and it's just one of his many that's part of the Force for Good that we're so signed on to and believe so much in, that Tip introduced us. And one other thing I would say, Mike, as you look at giving, as you look at your engagement to help your community better, it has to be dynamic. Because let's look at what happened in the last 12 months, right? Mm-hmm. The pandemic, social strife that we've seen, listening and learning to those from those in your community. So how, therefore, we can make it better. And you have to have it dynamic. And that's why I love what's going on with this Force for Good that Tip and the Tradition Companies put together.
Scott, last question. Did you see, you know, was your company involved? Were any of those buildings that were burned or destructed clients of yours? Did you experience it at all?
Yes, we did have some of that. And it's a tragedy. It's something, Mike, as you know, a longtime Minnesota guy, you just hated to see it happen in Minneapolis. But if it had to happen, let's have the kind of community that we have in Minneapolis that can heal from that and go forward. And part of it is accepting culture, accepting things that you have of other people, understanding them and helping them. And so it's teed up a challenge and an opportunity for us to move Minneapolis forward, which I love.
Great way to look at it. Scott, thank you so much for your words of wisdom and continued success with what you're doing, and a big thank you for what you're doing as well.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for calling.
You bet. Scott Eggington from Cobb Strecker. Force for Good that was it right there. There's your demo tape. What's Force for Good? You just listen to Scott the last 5-6 minutes. That's what it is. That's what Tradition Company is. Family-owned, Minnesota-based company working for good in communities while connecting the dots between land development, financial services, home building needs, you bet. But it is what Scott talked about. It is, where are the spots? Where can we be making a difference? Encouraging your employees. That's what Tradition Companies does, is they encourage their employees. And they don't say you have to involve yourself in this charity. They're saying find one. Find something that really trips your trigger and that gets you excited and something where you can make a difference. Find one. We find something that really trips your trigger and that gets you excited and something where you can make a difference. Find one. We've got something, you know, we've got Hope Kids and we've got every third Saturday and we've got lots of different things that Tradition Companies does. But what they're really saying is, hey, employees, be grateful. Start with a grateful heart. And then go find something that you have a passion for and make a difference. And maybe it's no coincidence that Tradition Companies has been so successful for so many years. Maybe if you approach things with that attitude, gratefulness first, and how can I help? Maybe the rest takes care of itself. Force for good. Make it a force in your life. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Joining us now must be baseball season. Whenever I get to talk to Terry Steinbach, it's a good time, especially when we're just talking about baseball and things that are good. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome, Max. Good to hear you.
You too, always. You know, what's it like for a player when you play that last spring training game? I guess there's a couple phases to that. What was it like the first time you made the big league team and you got done with spring training?
You corrected yourself, yes, because there's different phases.
Yeah.
The first time I did, I mean, it's just sheer excitement. It's every dream come true. It's, you know, playing at Gaylord, playing at New Ulm, you know, dreaming that maybe someday you get drafted or even a chance. And then when the manager comes up and tells you 2 or 3 days prior to that, hey, you're going north with us, or, you know, you're making the team, it's such an exciting feeling. I mean, it's everything you worked for, it's everything you dreamt about, and now it's like, okay, let's go. Let's see if I belong here. Let's see if I can have some success at this level.
Did you know that spring that you were probably going to make it? Was it in limbo? What was it?
Not at all. I mean, if you remember, I mean, in 86, I spent the year in AA, and then I was the September call-up. You know, was up for 2.5 weeks. Went to winter ball, went to spring training. And so, no, I mean, realistically, you know, probably never spent any time in AAA. So I'm assuming that I'm probably going to go to AAA. But there's that, you know, chance, you know, because you're in big league camp. And, you know, I did well in the 2.5 weeks I was there. So Tony La Russa used to have a party at Dave McKay's house. And Dave McKay is a native Arizona resident. And it's when we went there is when Tony told us. He told, like, myself, Mark McGuire, Rob Nelson, you know, at that party, like, hey, congratulations, you made the team. And, you know, you're so excited, you have to excuse yourself and go home and call home. Hey, Dad, guess what?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, so it was very exciting.
And then you go to opening day, and what's that opening day like for a player?
Well, the very first one is just phenomenal. I mean, you're nothing but eyeballs.
Oakland at the time, or where were you?
We were in Oakland for the first one, yeah. And so you get there and just like, holy mackerel, you know, this is what opening day is all about. You know, maybe you're fortunate enough to see some in your lifetime or see some on TV, but when you get that first one to experience, then, you know, the sellouts, the screaming, the flyovers, the goofy first pitch ceremonies from a ball coming from center field on a string, you know, I mean, all kinds of weird stuff, but it's very, very exciting.
You know, I watched a documentary the other day on a guy named Dave Parker, who was, you know, obviously known as Pittsburgh Pirate, and he played at Cincinnati, but he played with you in the Oakland A's as well. And he's gone through some health issues right now, and he's having a tough time to an extent. But, you know, you forget many times until you watch how good a guy was. What was he like when he got to the A's?
He was a phenomenal person. He's probably the gentlest giant that I've ever met. I mean, he's a big man, you know, 6'4", 6'5", well-built, very intimidating, you know. But, oh, my gosh, this guy on your team was one of the funniest guys, one of the kindest guys. He had time for everybody on the team. He was a great go-to guy. He was a phenomenal leader, and I feel, to be quite honest with you, very privileged to have the opportunity to for us two to be on the same team, and me just to learn from that guy. He was a lot of fun.
You played with Reggie too. I mean, Reggie obviously Mr. October and all those things. Did you pick up anything from him that, you know, I know Reggie's a lot about Reggie and all that stuff, but in terms of, you know, there have been very few that have played in the clutch as well as him. Did you pick up anything from him?
Reggie was a little harder. You know, again, you kind of had to be in that circle. And what I mean by that, Reggie, you know, phenomenal player, superstar, all right? And so Reggie kind of made himself available to the Consecos, the Maguires, you know, the power hitters, the guys who, you know, a lot of recognition. And you know, Steinbeck wasn't quite, you know, of that level.
So, not yet. You were getting there.
I was getting there, yeah. So Reggie was kind of a harder read, you know, whereas Parker and Baylor, those guys were extremely open. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like welcoming, like, hey, you got a question, or they would come up to you, you know, and ask you questions, or how you doing, kid, or, you know, stuff like that. Really made you feel welcome, really made you feel to be part of that team.
Now, here come the Twins, and, you know, there's not a lot of questions. I mean, the question is how well will they play, but there's not a lot of questions in terms of who's going to play what position and who's going to be in the starting rotation, all those things. I guess in left field they have a little bit of, you know, some conversation there. Do you, as you look back, would you have signed Rosario, given what you know, or is it fairly easy to develop or find a left fielder?
I think that's a really tough question, Maxie, because, you know, especially last year with COVID, no one could be at the game. No one could be even in the clubhouses, locker rooms, close to the field. So you really don't get to know what Rosario was all about.
I mean,
what was he like in the clubhouse? Was he a student of the game? Did he respect the game? Did he work hard for the game? I mean, the times that you saw him play, I thought this guy was very, very good, you know. But does he fit into that Twins mold? Or did the Twins say, hey, we got enough minor league talent, you know, good prospects, outfielders that we think can easily get a chance and maybe not do as good that very first year, but potentially we think they can be better than what he was. So it's always hard to have to let a established player go, and it's even harder to try to figure out why they let that guy go, especially when you know when you're not there. So obviously the organization thought that there was a better move or other players that could fill that spot.
Now you got Kenta Maeda and Jose Barrios at the top of the rotation. Does it do anything for you is Barrios a number one guy? Do you think is he close to that? And would you try to instill that in him? Can you make a guy a little bit of that bulldog?
I think he has potential to be a number one guy. Yes, but you know, and here's the big but: he has to earn that. He has to prove that. He has to show that. You know, think about the number one guys. You know, you got Jack Morris. You know, we had a Dave Stewart. You know, Mike Moore. I mean, you know, guys that any time your team was maybe slumping a little bit, you got a two-game losing streak or anything, you know, you need a pick-me-up or you got a big game and you need a reputable start, that's the number one guy. That's the guy you want out there, is that number one guy who, for the most part, is going to give you a very, very solid performance. Now, if we don't score any runs, you know, it's not the number one guy's fault. But he's going to keep the other team at bay and keep them, you know, their run production down. And he's shown times that he can do that, you know. But I think for that number one status, you know, you want that to be, I think, more consistent than what he's shown us.
Yeah, and, you know, 2 years ago they had an 18-inning game, like a 21-inning game the same season 2 years ago, and one of them, he came back the next night against Chicago, and they had, you know, obviously they had just strained their bullpen because they had gone 20 innings or whatever, and they had to fly to Chicago, and he gave up probably 5-6 runs, but he went 7 innings, and I thought, now that's what you're talking about, right? Because he refused to come out because he knew the team needed somebody to eat some innings up here, and that's what a number one guy does, right? Even if he doesn't have his best stuff, he recognizes that moment.
Absolutely, I think your number one guy, for lack of better words, finds a way to get you 5 instead of coming out after 3, or finds a way to get to 7 instead of 5 and dive. You know, that's what that number one guy does. And come on, you know we got to be realistic. Everybody's human here. Number one guys aren't going to be perfect every time.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're going to have.
Yeah, they're usually like 18-9 on the year or something like that, which means they lost 9 times, you know?
Yeah, but if that number one guy can give you 6+7 innings, you know, for your team and your bullpen and still maybe come up with a loss, you know, a 4-2, a 3-1, something like that, he's done his job.
Do you like the? Do you think it matters much anymore? Is it a trend? Is it, if you have a designated closer or not?
I'm old school, Maxie.
You're Eckersley old school, which makes sense.
I do, man. I remember, you know, we had Rick Hunnicutt for the 7th, Gene Nelson for the 8th, and Eckersley closed it out. And I remember talking to other teams, you know, talking to Puck, and he said, "Man, I used to play you guys because you guys are winning in that beginning of the 7th inning. It's over. Game over. We are not scoring against those 3 guys." So, yeah, I think that can be extremely intimidating. You know, and those over. Game over. We are not scoring against those 3 guys. So, yeah, I think that can be extremely intimidating. You know, and those guys, those bona fide closers are very successful and I think very hard to find. Now, on the flip side, can you win with, I don't know, I call it closer by committee? Yeah. But the question was presented to me, you know, I like knowing that closer. I like having Eckersley in the pen, Aguilera in the pen. You know, I liked it because you knew if we got to that 9th inning with the lead, we got a very, very good chance of winning that game.
Is there any merit, though, to the thought that, you know, it's the 7th inning or the 6th inning, and all of a sudden we recognize that this is the biggest at-bat of the game, and our best arm is our closer? There's guys on 2nd and 3rd and 1 out, and if we don't get this guy, we're done for the night. So let's move to him right now and take our chances. Is there anything to that philosophy that you see?
I think if physically speaking, you know, the scenario that you described, sure, that makes all the sense in the world. But what makes a closer tick? Uh-huh. I mean, to all of a sudden, to have that closer not have the 6th, 7th, 8th inning to get ramped up for, to get mentally prepared, to get mentally focused on what hitters he's going to face. If he doesn't have that opportunity to do it, just throwing him in there in, let's say, you know, the 5th inning or even 6th inning, I'm not sure that the bona fide closer would have the success rate coming into a scenario like that as compared to coming in that 9th inning every game.
Okay, a couple players just said, Nelson Cruz, obviously, he's been amazing. What do you see when you see him that's allowed him to play this long?
First of all, I love the confidence in the guy. You know what I mean? He never seems frustrated. He never looks overmatched. He always seems to be well in control of himself and well in control of the situation. Doesn't look like there's any amount of pressure whatsoever. And that's a bona fide leader right there. I mean, his teammates are going to pick up on that. And then, as far as longevity, Maxie, you know, I haven't been around him, but, you know, you read and you hear things. I hear he does a good job taking care of himself. You know, his nutrition is very well. His diet's good. He does the exercises that he needs to do at his age, pertaining to his age, to give him the ability to be successful on the field.
Sano, do you let him swing and just say, hey, we're going to live with strikeouts, but because at the end of the year he's going to do enough damage? Is he at that point in his career now where you kind of accept that?
I hate that.
Yeah, hate to accept it, you mean?
I just hate the attitude of just going up there and swinging. I mean, you know, because there's a scenario, winning run in the eighth inning or ninth inning on third base, and I'm just going to go, you know, if we just loosely talk here and just say, hey, I'm just going to swing out of my rear and hopefully I hit one out of the park. If I don't, I strike out with the go-ahead run on third. You know, I don't like that. I think, yes, you can be a bona fide power hitter. I think you can take your strikeouts, but I would like to see the guy take a couple whacks, you know, at going for the fences and find a way to put that ball in play. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, Max, you know, 100 strikeouts a year was kind of like, whoa, you know, some of the big boys were doing that. You know, the Kingmans, the Reggies, you know, guys like that were that 100 plus with their 40, 50, you know.
Yep.
But, man, you just see that strikeout number just going through the roof.
You always told me that Canseco, I mean, because you think of him, some people think of him in the same terms, but you said, no, he was a smart hitter and he was looking for one pitch and he understood situations.
He did, and he wasn't afraid to use the whole ballpark. You know what I mean? He hit just as many home runs to right center or left field. He bunted, you know, when they put the big shift on him, or the third baseman's playing in left field, he bunted. And again, he has the ability to steal some bases. So even if he bunted, he could probably turn it into a double, maybe a triple. You know, if they're not watching him at second, he can steal third as well. So he was a smart hitter. He took what they gave him. Now, did he have his chances to hit home runs and take his swings? Absolutely. I mean, there wasn't too many times he got cheated, you know, on that third strike. But he did. He, you know, you look at overall stats and him, he had his average was up there. You know, he found a way to put the ball in play and use the tools that were given to him.
Byron Buxton, do you are you looking at him as a, are we still thinking he could hit 300 one day? Are we better served saying, no, he's going to hit 260, but just let him play defense, hit 260 and raise havoc on the bases?
I think the biggest thing with Buxton, we got to keep him healthy. Yeah, I think he can hit 300. Yeah, I think he can hit home runs. I mean, I'm impressed how he's taking care of himself. I mean, every year over the past 3 years, he's come into camp, you know, bigger, better, stronger, and making better plays than we've seen, and having really, really good at bats and really doing special things at the plate. But we got to find a way to keep him on the field. And I don't mean to take away his aggressiveness on defense. I mean, that's who he is, but just somehow, and I'm not the guy with the answers, but he needs to be out there, you know, 150, 55 games, you know, 145, 50 games, you know, at decent health. I mean, you know, let's face it, you play that many games, you're not always at 100%, but he can't be taking stints on the DL. He's much, much more valuable to that team when we can have him in the lineup anywhere, but have that glove in center field.
All right, last question. With, you know, last year when I get to go to a game, and it wasn't that much fun without the fans being there, but the one thing that stood out to me was that I didn't realize is I felt a little bit like I was at a Gaylord Kaiseroff game, in that when a player struck out or had a frustrating at bat, you could hear them. And I've never heard that before in a major league. You know, when they popped it out, they might say something loud. I don't want to say they'd regret, but it's something that you can't repeat. And I thought, you know, I didn't realize that this was always drowned out by the crowd. Is that common? I always wonder, do big leaguers, are they so professional that they could just walk in and set the bat down and grab their glove and go out? Or is it much more emotional than we think when you strike out, and it feels the same way as when you're in a town team game?
I think everybody has. I'm going to call it a breaking point.
You know
what I mean? Yep. Yes, we are role models, whether you want to be or not. There's people watching, there's kids watching, whether they're at the game or watching on TV. And cameras cover too much, in my opinion, now.
Yep.
You know, they,
yep,
they watch the player almost go three quarters of the way up the tunnel. So, yes, as a player, you try to, you know, you try to be professional. Yes, you're frustrated. You try to control your feelings. But you have that breaking point. You know, I mean, your face is loaded and you leave that guy stranded, you punch out on chasing a bad pitch or something. Yeah, you're going to get frustrated. And as a player, I like to see that. That's showing me that player's into it, that player cares. You know what I mean? And you know, again, hopefully we can control it enough so you don't offend anybody. You don't offend, you know, that family that happens to be sitting in the front row. But it's a challenge. It's something that I think Maxie has always been there. And like I said, I like it. I know a lot of managers that like a little bit of fire, you know, and a guy instead of like, oh, shucks, you know, he struck out. We lost the ninth inning, you know, maybe tomorrow, boy.
I know, I hate that.
Exactly.
And that's why they have that room that nobody can see. And if they ever put cameras in it, God help us all, right?
Well, I think you've heard a lot of bats being broken.
Yeah, yes.
A lot of garbage cans getting reshaped, I think.
And once in a while, that's how you deal with it. Hey, Terry, thank you so much. Hope we can do it again soon.
Always a pleasure, and can't wait to see you at the game here someday.
You bet. Terry Steinbach, nice enough to join us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Got a great 8 o'clock hour planned as well. David Hegberg, Mr. Basketball, be on with us and a whole bunch more. Sports to the Max, WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.